I think some was here anyway. I think they answered us. Praise God. I want to share about a very well-known scripture today. If you haven't learnt it, it's a good one to learn. And it's John 3:16. Is there any way we can get it up on the screen? Yeah, please. Now, I've given this a title today, which is a bit different to how I usually do it. It's John 3:16 and the Pharisee. Now, often we'll pick a scripture out, a verse, and we'll read it, and that's all we look at, just that verse. And John 3:16 and 17 really do capture the whole message of God and the gospel in Jesus Christ, all in one little bit. But I was drawn to look at the situation surrounding when this was shared. Now it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Verse 17 says, "For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him." There's a lot captured in that verse. And I wondered if you've ever really looked at the situation that came about that caused Jesus to say those words then, at that time. He didn't say it to his own disciples. He said it to a man called Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was a Pharisee. And Jesus had a few things to say about Pharisees that weren't very nice. But I think it'll be good. First of all, I'm going to read the passage. I'm going to read chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 1 to, well, probably about 17, 18, something like that. And just listen, and it'll give you a rough capture of the situation that these words were said. It said, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?' Jesus answered, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit.' Nicodemus answered and said to him, 'How can these things be?' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Are you a teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak that which we know and bear witness of that which we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no one has ascended into heaven but he who has descended from heaven, even the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up a serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So there's a lot there in the situation, and I want to take you through it, because I think it's important that we know, first of all, why the Pharisee came to Jesus and what happened when he did. I said that Jesus didn't say this nugget, this verse 16, he didn't say that to his own disciples. He said it to a man that was a Pharisee. Now there's a number of places where Jesus mentions about the Pharisees. They weren't a very good lot. The Pharisees were a highly religious section of the community, at the top end of the community. I suppose in this day and age we don't sort of have religious people ruling the country, but in the way back that's how it was. The religious people really ruled over the people. The Pharisees were the section of people that tended to have the say over things, and the Pharisees followed a lot of rules and regulations, which are called laws, that kept them on the straight and narrow, and that was their religious aspect of their efforts to get to God. So they lived by all these rules and regulations. One of the things that Jesus called them was a brood of vipers. Another thing, now if you looked in Matthew chapter 23, the whole chapter just about is talking about the scribes and the Pharisees. And I'm just thinking about the heading over that chapter in my book, if I can find it. The heading over that chapter is Phariseeism Exposed. And he goes through, you know, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, and he tells a load of things about them and why they're wrong. And one of the things he calls them whitewashed tombs. Okay on the outside, but inside full of dead men's bones. So he has some real cute sort of, cute's perhaps not the word, but some real straight talking to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees didn't like Jesus. One of the reasons they didn't like, because they were jealous of him. Jesus had success, and he wasn't part of the establishment, so they didn't like him. They wanted to get rid of him. One way or another, they wanted to get rid of him. And they were working towards trying to have him executed. But up to this point in time, they hadn't managed it. So here we have a situation where Nicodemus, he's a Pharisee, and he's coming to Jesus. Now it says that in verse 1 it says he's a ruler of the Jews. He's high up in the Jewish community, and he's a Pharisee, so he knows all the rules and regulations, he follows them. But verse 2 it says he came to Jesus by night. So he didn't want to be seen. He probably didn't want to be seen by the other Pharisees, because they were against Jesus. He might not even wanted to be seen by the Jews, for them to be seen to support him, Jesus, in any way. So he said he came to Jesus by night, and he says to him, this is interesting now, he says to him, Rabbi, that's teacher, he acknowledges Jesus as a teacher. He says, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. He's seen what Jesus has been doing in the community, in the synagogue, round about the towns and villages where he's been. This man Nicodemus has seen something happening, and it's caught his attention. Amen. And he's come to the point of view. He says, no one can do the things that you are doing unless God is with them. Now Jesus was going around healing. He was going about preaching. He was upturning the establishment. The people of the religious setup and quarter, he was turning them upside down. And they didn't like it. But Nicodemus had seen something, because, you see, Nicodemus was keen to be religious, and he followed his set of rules and all that and everything. But he must have realised that somehow it wasn't hitting anything. It wasn't doing what it should theoretically be doing. So Nicodemus was coming to Jesus. He'd seen Jesus, he'd seen something that in Jesus that his Phariseeism didn't give him. And he glimpsed a whole new realm of life and existence in Jesus somehow, but he didn't know what it was. See, in the Pharisee only live on one level. There's no spiritual side to them. They live by rules and regulation, by laws, and that's how they think they're progressing in their religion. But it only has one dimension. Now Jesus started to show him something different. So Jesus doesn't reject him, although he said all sorts of things about the Pharisees. Jesus doesn't reject him. He brings him in and he starts to talk to him. He starts to take Nicodemus on a journey. He starts to take him on a journey out of where he is. And if you look in verse 3, this is the first hammer blow. He says, unless one is born again or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You've got to be born from above, born again, even to see the kingdom of God. Now here's Nicodemus thinking, you know, he knows everything, and in reality he knows very little, but Jesus has done the first introduction. He's telling Nicodemus there is another level of life. There is another level. You've lived on this level. You know, the five senses, is it sight, sound, taste, touch and smell? Is that the five senses? He's lived by that. Load of rules and regulations, but it's within that realm. Now Jesus is saying, there's another realm. There's another realm. He says, and you have to be born from above to grasp hold of it, to even see it. See, Nicodemus must have had this in his mind so often that there's got to be more to life than this. And the world is full of people like that. There's got to be more to life than this, because they're living all on the one level of what the senses tell them, and that's it. But there's got to be more. There's got to be more. And this is how Nicodemus must have been thinking. I've seen something in Jesus. I've seen something in this Jesus. I've seen what he's doing. There's got to be something more that I can get hold of in my life. And Jesus has introduced him to the first step. You must be born again. You must be born again. And then you start to see. You start to see the kingdom of God. You start to see the realm that Jesus is talking about. Yeah. It says in the Word of God that God is spirit. Now, you see, the world chases after spirits. Yeah. The occult. The supernatural. The number of films that appear on that are about the supernatural or the occult and things like that. people are fascinated with a realm that, in one sense, they're saying doesn't exist, and yet in another, they're making all sorts of imaginary films about it. So they've got this pull towards the spiritual, but they don't know how to get into the spiritual side of life. This is why sometimes they go down the road of grasping older the occultist things, because they think in some way they're getting into this higher, this different realm. But Nicodemus, when he hears this, he's out of his depth. Suddenly he's come out of his depth. He doesn't know how to deal with it. It says in verse 6, he says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit." The flesh is the normal natural birth, normal natural things. It says, "But that which is born of the spirit is spirit." There's got to be a spiritual birth. To get into the realm of the spirit, you've got to access the spiritual realm. You can't do it through the occult. You can't do it through things like that. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. It's the verse 7. He says, "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." And he's trying to explain the spirit in verse 8. He says, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes and from where it's going. And so is everyone who is born of the Spirit." It's in a realm beyond the normal natural senses. When the disciples, after Jesus died, and went to hear the day of Pentecost, and they were in the upper room, and it says there was something like a sound of a mighty rushing wind. Couldn't see anything, but that's when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Something happened at that time, and it just opened up that realm to the disciples. Really, when Jesus died on the cross, the disciples were lost. Peter and John and the others, the main disciples who've been with Jesus all the time, they were lost. They didn't know what to do. And then when Jesus was risen, he started appearing to them and talking to them and explaining things. And suddenly, their eyes started to open about what Jesus really meant when he was teaching them. He was teaching them when he was alive, and he realized they wouldn't grasp it at the time. But you see, when they got to the day of Pentecost and they were filled with the Spirit, they changed. Something happened to them. They changed. They got the Spirit of God inside them. So verse 9, Nicodemus is responding. He says, "Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be?" He's just lost. Now, he's a teacher of the Jews, a teacher of the Jewish nation. He's right up there in the sort of, I suppose, in a sense, the government. And he's trying to grasp what Jesus is saying. He says, "How can these things be?" As Jesus says to him, he says, in verse 10, he says, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand this?" Now, Jesus has not been sarcastic to him. He's saying to Nicodemus, "For all that you know about the rules and regulations," he says, "don't you know anything about the Spirit? In all that you've tried to accumulate in your knowledge and experience of the law and everything, don't you understand about the Spirit?" See, Jesus is not rejecting him. Quite the opposite. Jesus is taking him on a journey, and he's trying to draw him to that where he will understand. Now, I think at the time Jesus was saying this, he was talking to Nicodemus, but I think Jesus' disciples were probably around him as well, or some of them, because verse 11, it says, Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak that we know, and bear witness of what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. I think he was talking collectively about himself and his disciples. Because if it's God speaking, they tend to put these little words in capital letters if they're talking about, if he's talking about himself and the Father. So I'm thinking here he's probably talking about himself and the disciples. So he's probably got his other disciples round him. So in verse 12 it says, if I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? See, people struggle to receive the message of the gospel. The realm of Jesus Christ is beyond their natural understanding, their natural senses. We said that God can speak to us, Jesus can speak to us. And he doesn't have to speak in words to get the message across. See, the atheist will tend to say, I can do that, but I can't do that. And they'll call it right and wrong. And then they move the goalposts. And that's right and that's wrong. But what they're saying is not a right and wrong. It's what's permissible and what is not permissible. That's why the goalposts change. God isn't like that. God says right and wrong, and it never changes. This is why the Christians in this nation are at odds with the government, because the government are passing laws, because they've changed the goalposts, because they're living in an atheistic mentality that says we can move the goalposts, that's now acceptable. But the Bible doesn't change. The Bible doesn't change the goalposts. The Bible tells us right and wrong and never changes. So Jesus is bringing Nicodemus into a spiritual perception. He's starting to show him what is happening. He says in verse 13, and no one ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the